Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 482, entitled WPOCC, Rebranding and Surveying the WordPress Community. It was released on Thursday, the 27th of August, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and in a few short moments, I will be joined by Say Reed, if I can pronounce that name correctly, so that we can have our discussion. But before that, one or two bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do at WP Builds, head to our subscribe page. It's at the unbelievably easy to remember wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Get on our email newsletter list and we'll send you two emails a week, one when we produce the Thursday podcast. That is what you are listening to now. And one when we produce the This Week in WordPress show. That comes out on a Tuesday. We do it live every Monday, 2 p.m. UK time, wpbuilds.com/live. I say we do it live every single Monday. I'm actually taking a few weeks off for the summer holiday, so it won't be available this coming week. But never mind, it'll be soon in train, so don't worry about that. The other thing to mention is that if you want to help this podcast move forward, head to our advertise page to find out about sponsorships, wpbuilds.com/advertise. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Say Reed. Say has been involved in the WPCC, or the WP Community Collective, for a little while now, but they decided, for various reasons which will become obvious during the podcast, that they needed to change the name and the acronym, so it's now the WPOCC, and the O stands for Open, as you will hear. So we're chatting today about what exactly went on there, why have they decided to change the name. We get into surveying the WordPress community, finding out from the WPOCC where we are at as a community, what are the difficulties and challenges that we're facing, are we in decline, are we in growth, what do people want out of the WordPress community. And it's a really fun conversation with a really fun character, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Say Reed. Hi there.
Hi, Nathan. It's lovely to be here.
This is the third try we've had.
We're doing well so far.
Saying your name for some reason. You have the most straightforward first name.
It's easy to say.
And might I add that on an audio podcast, we both have just been discussing how fantastic we look. It's true. We both look absolutely remarkable, but sadly,
you're all missing out.
Dear listener, you won't be able to see it. We got lighting and everything. It's brilliant. The $1 million podcast.
You'd never believe it.
No, that's right. But we're here today to talk about the WPCC.
Or the WPOCC.
Oh, hang on a minute. Steady. Go on. Okay, so let me just get the WPCC bit out of the way. So I'm used to saying the WPCC, meaning the WP Community Collective. We can get on to what that is at the minute. So you've added an O in. Is that a rebrand or something?
Yes, we have added an O.
Okay, that's it. That's
what we did. We just added an O. That O is part of the acronym WPOCC, and it stands for Open.
It might. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are rebranding as the WP Open Community Collective.
Interesting.
As of today.
Okay. Set your clocks. The day that we record this, it's nothing to do with this podcast, the parents, I'm guessing. Is.
No, not necessarily, but this is the first time we're talking about it. We did not want to do anything while we were conducting the state of the community survey. We didn't want to, you know, confuse anyone any more than we already were.
Right.
Yeah. So this change has its roots in a lot of things, honestly. But there is a catalyst. We have discussed, when we incorporated, we discussed changing the name to reflect sort of our broader focus of open source. we decided not to from a branding perspective. Like, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, for minimal benefit. And there's no real reason to rebrand, right? So we did that. That was in November of 2024. And we, you know, did all our formal paperwork and all that. But interestingly, I think, the other day, a couple weeks ago, Automattic, are you familiar with Automattic?
I've heard of them.
Yeah, you've heard of it. They bought a web domain called webhosting.com. And I was intrigued by that. And I was like, I wonder what the impetus of that is. And I was like, oh, you know, they're into trademarks, right? So I went and looked up to see if there were any pending trademarks for webhosting.com or just web hosting, since there were trademarks filed for managed hosting or managed WordPress hosting. And while I was there, I just had an idea occur to me. I was like, huh, while I'm here, I'm just going to type my little acronym in, which I had done previously before we launched the organization, right? You do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. You check all the names. You check your domains. You get your social handles, right? You make sure no one else is using your name, which no one was. However, turns out there is an active, live, and pending, and I think slightly granted, trademark application for the acronym WPCC, filed by the WordPress Foundation.
For what though? For which combination? I mean, string of letters. But presumably, yes. is it an acronym or is it literally those letters?
It is those letters, but which serve as an acronym for the other pending related trademark, which is for WordPress Campus Connect.
Oh.
Yes. So the kind of confusion that had been brewing from that for a long time is clearly going to go to the person who has more money.
Okay. I actually seeing on, it was probably Learn or something like that. I do remember seeing that acronym in use, and I remember assuming it was your WPCC, because that's the only time I had seen it. And then in the context of the article, it became clear that no, that's not what it is.
No.
And yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. So we founded the WP Community Collective in December of 2022. There we go.
Okay.
Like 2002. No, just kidding. 2022. And then we incorporated in November of 2024. And I have in the interim since this, I've done some research. The what originally started as WP Campus Connect was founded by independently as part of the WordPress Next Gen events that were sort of like, you know, try out these different
events. Yeah, I remember that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's a group of meetup organizers, WordPress meetup organizers from India. I don't really know how to say the city, but from India.
Oh, Anjmer, I think it is.
Anjmer.
Ajmer or something. Ajmer? Yeah, okay.
Something
anyway,
like
there.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a J.
Yeah. Ajmer, I think.
Ajmer. It sounds right.
Let's go
right.
with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they created that event unrelated to anything formal, but they did submit that proposal to WordCamp Central, and in at the end of August 2024, that became not an official event in the way that it is now, but just they granted them the ability to do their event that they proposed. Mm-hmm. After that happened, the WP Campus Connect became a program, an official program of WordCamp WordCamp Central. Mm-hmm. So of WPCS, and they made it into a global program that has sponsorship, much like the WordCamp's kind of global sponsorship program. So it's like kind of baked in money for each event that happens. And then it turns out in May of 2025, so last year, the foundation filed for those trademarks.
Okay.
Okay. I did not know that clearly until I went searching through the database on a whim.
Yeah. I suppose you must be, obviously, you know, never nice to realize that there's two overlapping things with the same acronym and one of them's got a lawsuit behind it. But I guess the fact that a sort of pending trademark kind of description thing going on.
But some leverage.
So is your WPOCC a way of just basically sidestepping that whole thing?
Correct. Are not interested in, we had discussed it before. And so, you know, it wasn't a huge, you know, we have expanded our scope, but we don't want any more conflict in this community. Interestingly, WPCS had actually asked us about our name previously, but what they had asked us was to change it because it was too similar to WPCS.
Oh,
that was the only communication we had received. So we did not know about the trademark that it had been filed or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm just pleased that I, you know, like to search databases and we were able to make this before there were any letters sent. We just, you know, we're like, you know what? We're just going to sidestep this altogether.
Yeah, neat.
Do-si-do over this way.
Yeah. I'm curious, actually, whilst you were there doing, so you made WPCC into WPOCC, was there any bit of you which thought, let's just drop the WP bit? In other words, just make it like an open, like any open source? Or is the whole thing literally bound forever and ever to the WordPress project? Or do you have ambition to stray outside of, to, you know, WordPress so that it could be, I don't know, any other project, be it a CMS or just some other open source thing?
Yeah. We can just throw more letters at it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That discussion was actually part of the larger discussion of rebranding that we had been having over the time. Like, how tied are we to, you know, WordPress, which is, you know, still a significant portion and one of the largest open source projects in the world, right? Mm-hmm. A significant portion of the internet, largest open source project. Like, these are big deals still. And our roots are in WordPress. And, you know, so we made this decision not necessarily with the amount of leeway that we would have liked to. We would like to have this conversation with the members. We want to, you know, just have a whole dialogue about what this reflects. You know, does changing the name make people feel like they're not connected to it? You know, our goal was to support the WordPress community first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So rather than go down a whole world of rebrand, this is like a little like half step rebrand,
right?
Where we're able to avoid any conflict. And any potential cease and desist letters that we're not interested in receiving. The actual formal name of the organization is not a problem, right? The WP Community Collective, which is the legal entity.
Oh, because that's already filed, right?
Lot of paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
To unfile that.
Yeah.
So we, this is sort of like I said, it's a bit of a half step, but it encompasses our scope, while also avoiding the conflict and just saying, you know what, WP Campus Connect, or WordPress Campus Connect, as it's now named, is a valid program. Like, we don't want to also stand in the way of what it is doing. It's educating college students. The folks who started it are dedicated contributors, and it did start independently. So, you know, we want to preserve community morale and harmony as much as possible, and not interested in a fight. So really just giving that up and just doing something really quick where we're able to not be like, who is this now? We don't know who this organization is, but something that's easy to just sort of add in there that makes sense to people. So, you know, depending on sort of the results of the survey, which we can talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
And how the members feel about just the industry, that really is going to shape where we go next. Because when we started this in 2022, this was a really different landscape. A lot has changed since we started, both in tech in general and also in WordPress specifically. So this is a temporary thing, maybe temporary, maybe permanent, but it is definitely just a quick thing to preserve community harmony.
Okay. All right. So
also you can say WPOC, which is really kind of fun.
It sounds like something out of Star Wars.
It's like an Ewok.
That's literally where my head went, was Ewoks. Yeah. I was thinking small furry creature. You've got a whole range of rival WAPU kind of creatures.
We have WPOCs.
Ewok kind of style creatures.
I love it. There you go. I'm going to make a generator. I'm going to write that down. Make WPOC with Claude.
Yes. You heard it here first. The thing I want to do just before we get onto your survey is let's paint a picture for those people who haven't heard of the WordPress Community Collective, WPCC, now with an O in it. We'll stumble WordPress through that this whole open. Episode, right?
Yeah, it's a long name.
Tell me, or the viewers, should I say, the listeners, what it is that you're set up to do and how it's funded and what kind of things you've been involved in these many years. What has it been doing and what do you aspire to do?
What are we doing anyway? What are you on about over there? Well, I'm so glad you asked, Nathan. I love telling the story. Like I said, it has changed a lot. And so how we operate and how we're going to operate in the future is changing because the nature of open source contribution is changing rapidly right now. Mm-hmm. But our founding goal is to support the contribution community. And so that's the WordPress contributor community as well as the greater open source contributor community of, you know, for example, all the different open source software that WordPress relies on. PHP, all those little things that are, you know, sort of also struggling to find a contribution model that works. So the WPOCC, our original goal, see I can say it, it's great. Our original goal was to essentially redefine the contributor matrix, I guess we could say. I just like saying that. how it works, right? So I actually recently talked about this on another podcast. I don't have to name it by ear, but if you want, we can.
You can name whatever you like. Okay. It's all good.
On Crossword, I went into some detail.
Lovely.
Recently. So you can also listen to that, but I will also explain here, so I'm not forcing you to go listen to the dulcet tones of Jonathan and Luke over there.
Oh, so good. I love them both.
They talk like this.
Jonathan's got the smoothest voice. And Luke's also got a fairly nice, very, you know, Australian, but also a smooth voice.
Smooth for an Australian. So essentially, our model is to be a catalyst for contribution. What we discovered through both working with and being a part of prior to founding, being a part of just the WordPress community and looking to solve those contribution issues, you know, there's this whole concept of the maker taker problem.
Yeah.
I do not agree with that model because it has two components. Well, so it's not so much that I don't agree with that model, it's that I wanted to disrupt that model. So instead of having a maker and a taker, introducing an organization, the WPOCC, into that factor. So we were basically looking to disrupt that model because what we had found was that the companies wanted to contribute. However, they couldn't figure out how to contribute.
Right.
In this, it wasn't just like, oh, an individual contributor going in and having trouble finding a team. It was like, if a company is going to pay one of their full-time employees to go work on something without any metrics, without any ROI, without any supervisors, it's really doesn't work for the model, the just general business model, especially in the US, of You know, every employee is accounted for, has different, you know, metrics they're reporting on. And having a random contributor doing things where that company is not able to even supervise that doesn't necessarily make sense from an HR perspective.
Right.
Unless you're a company that is completely subsumed in WordPress.
Yep. Yep.
It's really hard to justify that. And a lot of companies with board members and shareholders, especially when you get to that level, now at that point, how are they justifying just a full-time employee or more that is not working on their core product? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
But it does make sense from a development point of view, from a marketing point of view, from all the other points of view. So the WPOCC's goal is to essentially bridge the gap between those companies and the individual contributors so that the companies don't have to manage random individual contributors and try to figure out what those reports look like or what those metrics look like. And the contributors don't have to figure out how to provide information back to their sponsors or, you know, promote their sponsors in, you know, their work that they're doing, which is, it's just really difficult on both sides. So the WPOCC is able to hire and support the contributors, pay them, and give them the contributor support they need, while also supporting the company in achieving their goals and giving them metrics and sponsorship, which is something that a company can understand and make sense within a corporate framework.
Right. So the way that you're describing that is you're like the bridge between the work that needs to be done and the people who are willing to work but can't figure out what the heck, you know, where to put themselves or any of that. So you sort of stand in the middle, you provide the structure in both directions.
Yes.
You know, we'll tell you what's needed more globally. You can then send somebody over, we'll tell them what needs doing, and then we'll report back what happened and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of interesting. But is there a financial piece to it as well? In other words, let's say that I'm a company, but I don't have any free time, but I've got a couple of $1,000 that I know would, you know, that somebody somewhere could make use of that. Do you act in that sense as well? So like an escrow service for
we're a broker.
Yes. Yeah. So you take people's money because they don't have time, but they've got, you know, a bank account which can survive a couple of $1,000 hit. And then that money could go to somebody who's coming in whose company doesn't have any money. They're just doing it, you know, on their own free time, more or less freelancing, something along those lines.
So it's really bridging that gap that's been there. And so it does disrupt that maker taker model, because it's not just these binary two parties anymore. Now it's we can talk with the company and address their needs, see how that works within the system. And then the companies and the contributors, again, don't have to have that burden of going out every 6 months and trying to convince people to give them money. So that's the essential model.
Yeah.
It hasn't necessarily worked out quite that way.
Okay.
That's not the model's fault. But I don't know if you're familiar with the WordPress ecosystem in the past year and a half. It's been weird. And so we have been, I wouldn't say like totally waylaid or completely adrift. I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm making like the Odyssey is, you know, just came out.
It's in the vernacular at the minute.
I haven't seen it, but I am thinking of it. So we're not like on a totally lost. But it has been, you know, our goal is, we are a member-based organization, and our goal is to advocate for and represent the needs of our members. And our members are very confused because they want to love WordPress. They want to be a part of WordPress, but what has happened has really shook everybody up. And so that actually leads right into why we launched the State of the Community Survey, which ran over the course of just under 2 months, and we just closed it last week.
Before we get on to that, we will definitely get on
to. Did you love my segue? You're going to take my segue.
Beautiful, beautiful segue.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go back to like 10 seconds prior to the segue. Yeah. How would you summarize that confusion from these companies? Is it like has everybody gone into some companies? We won't name names of people or companies necessarily, but is it like a holding pattern that they've gone into? Is it like they've sort of like gone into the trenches a bit and, okay, we're just going to look down and let's just weather this out, give it another year, see what's happening. That's what I feel it's like.
Yes. It feels like everyone is in a holding pattern. Everyone is waiting. We're all like, the airport tarmac needs to clear before we can put these planes down. Right. I don't know. That's exactly what it feels like. Like, we're all waiting. And to an extent, we are. Now we're waiting even longer. I think there's the trademark trial with WP Engine and various WordPress entities has been pushed back to, I think, October of 2027. So we're talking about more than a year out. And I think we've all been waiting as individuals in the community, as companies, for something to change in that structure, in that sort of standoff. And, you know, as we continue to see, nothing has changed. No one is yielding. And, you know, I obviously have a lot of thoughts on all of that, but it's actually sort of irrelevant which way it even ended up to this kind of holding pattern, because it's the not knowing what is going to happen that I think has everyone frozen.
I can totally get it in the sense. So the bit that I don't see is I don't see companies sort of fleeing the landscape altogether. You know, I don't see companies sort of saying, right, that's it, we're done, we're off, like we're gone for good. I just see more of what I've just described of, okay, we don't know what to make of any of this, so we're just going to say nothing, do nothing, rein in our... So the way it affects the people that I know, so as an example, you know, a lot of content creators and things, it would be things like, we don't know where to put our sponsorship spend now. We're not sure if that's money that's useful to be spent at the moment, or are we better off just, we'll just keep those budgets within the company and then we'll see what it's like. And then maybe we'll resume those in 6 months' time or a year's time or a year and a half or what have you. And I imagine... So I, you know, the sponsorship landscape is something that I know about, but I imagine that would go in all sorts of other directions, the same sort of thing. Okay, great. So we're in this holding pattern.
I think you're completely right. And I don't know that anyone knows how to do anything else. Like it makes, again, looking from a corporate perspective, I mean, from an individual perspective, it's like, we can hold on because we believe, and it's like not going to, you know, we'll make other spaces for our community to have conversations in the interim. But for these, you know, large companies that have a significant investment in infrastructure, have significant investment in products, that's a harder ask for them to just sit around and wait. So, I feel like there's been some pivoting, more of a broadening. Like, I don't think companies are, they're certainly not announcing any departures, right? They're not like, oh, we're out. Like publishing a blog post, why we no longer believe
in it. No, I haven't seen that.
There's none of that.
No, that's interesting.
That was very popular in the beginning from a lot of community members to like sort of announce your departure.
There was a lot of that, wasn't there? I'd forgotten about that. Happened. Mm-hmm. And then it just didn't happen. Then it stopped happening.
Well, again, I think it's because the people who, you know, weren't necessarily directly affected, we all sort of liked it a lot. We liked WordPress, and I don't think everyone is ready to just be like, oh, okay, peace out, you know, give up on the community,
give up
on the career.
From my point of view, I'm here for the long haul, you know. I love this community and I love all the things that happen, and in many ways I'm waiting for normality to return, whatever that is, you know.
What does that mean?
Whatever that means, but I'm waiting for some version of that. And yeah, so anyway, we know that we've got a fairly lengthy period of time, and I have this vague sense, and I don't really know. I can't put my finger on it, but I mentioned it in the show that you were on Monday, your previous Monday, that I just get the feeling that in the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks, something in the water has changed a little bit. I sense a tiny bit of optimism. I want, I don't, I can't put my finger on it. And it's not like everything's fine. It's more like, I think I'm done worrying. Let's just move on and get on with the busy work that we need to be getting on with. I don't know, the sort of doomer posts have sort of dried up a little bit, and there seems to be more attention on just getting on with doing the work that WordPress requires. So anyway, whether or not that proves to be the case, we'll see.
I think that that is partially by design, that, you know, everyone's sort of like, get back to work, just go get back to what you're doing, and focus on that. But I do think that the, you know, it really is that holding pattern. So whether it's like a, we're just going to wait and see what happens, or we're going to, you know, no one's taking drastic action at this point anymore. The companies are not, the community is not. And now we're all just sort of waiting.
Figuring it out. Yeah, waiting.
We're going to see what happens.
Okay, let's go back to your segue, which is now like 10 minutes ago. So looking at the website, it looks like you you had this out for a length of time, and then you decided that you were going to extend it. I think 27th of May was the first date, and then it got extended to just literally a few days ago. I think you closed it like 6 days ago. So it's now shot. If you go to the website and you try to fill it in, there's now a, you know, it's gone, basically. So
you can't do it. Your opportunity.
Yeah, you can't do it. The moment's gone. So are you here to give us any like results, or are you still in that collation phase? What have you got
both.
To tell us from
it? I mean, I want to tease you with it, really.
Okay, good. Yeah, teasing will do. Let's go with that.
Just do some teasing.
Yeah.
Our goal or our plan for the results of this, we want to share, you know, the entire spectrum of what people said. So we're going to be putting this into a...
Is tapping something. I think one of your, because like every, like I'm getting this, which wasn't happening a minute ago. So, yeah. And it was really loud. It was like, boom,
is it still happening? Boom. I think I was doing this.
Oh, maybe that was close to the mic. So I'll just ask that again. So the survey, I won't ask it again. I'll just end it where I did. So it's now closed. You can't go there anymore. It's all finished. But tell us, tease us. What did you find?
Yeah. So, we are going to put the results into a report that we will be publishing right before WordCamp US, which is happening August 19th, I think, something like that.
16th to 19th, 16th, I believe.
19th, yeah. On a Sunday, random. So we're going to be putting that out. The president, interim president, technically, of the board of directors is actually speaking at WordCamp US in his role as... He works at Pantheon. He's a senior developer advocate at Pantheon, but he will be there. And so people can talk to him about, you know, the WPOCC, if so interested. But we will be putting out a report that will go into detail on what the results were. And we had some free answers, some free response answers that people could write in. And boy, did they.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with some offloading.
Yeah, and we actually included a question about and said, can we cite your free written answers? We wanted people to feel free to share information that might be identifying. And if it was, we didn't want to identify them, but we didn't want to restrict.
Yeah,
we didn't want to restrict them from sending it. So 65% of the folks who did free response answers said that we could use their responses. Which... You know, it's a lot of people, but you got to think the other 35% do not want us to share their free written answers. So perhaps that's the more interesting side. Luckily,
that's the metadata behind the data, isn't it? Yeah, that's really
exactly.
Yeah.
So we will have that information. And it will be synthesized into the report. While we won't be able to share, you know, that 35%, those comments directly,
because
this is important to us to respect people's, you know, anonymity. This has been a very fraught time that I feel people have been very scared to speak up, which for something that you would think is as sort of low stakes as WordPress, It's actually not, it turns out.
Well, I mean, especially when your potential livelihood is on the line. Like, you know, exactly. if you're working for a company and you've got to toe the party line. I mean, we've all been there. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. Sometimes you will be saying things that don't necessarily agree. You know, you may not at your core, when you're in your quiet moments with your family, you may share an entirely opposing view. And yeah. I think having that anonymizing option is really good, because people can then speak their mind. But, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry. They've got the food to put on the table, and they don't want to kind of make
it. And that's important to us to respect that. Like, that is something that is, and that's why we kind of gave that option, because we want the information. We want people to be able to speak out, but we also recognize the financial and social implications of speaking freely. Which is a wild thing to say in the land of the free and the home of the brave or whatever, but we won't go off on any political side.
I have thoughts on that, but as no, we're I, not. Yeah. Yeah, this no, is one of those moments where I enter the anonymous.
We're just gonna go.
Well, politics in the U.S. at the minute is very interesting. Let's just put it.
Isn't it?
So, were you happy with the turnout, if you like? Because obviously, if you'd have put this out and seven people had filled it out, you probably would have felt, okay, I'm not sure that we're on the right lines, but. Did enough people turn up and cast their vote? I always think in WordPress, it's hard to know what a measure of success there is, because sometimes you hear some really grandiose figures, you know, it's like, you know, there's 20 million websites on WordPress or whatever. And then you get a thing and you get a plugin, and the plugin owner thinks, I'm doing great. I got 94 installs so far. And
well,
and that, but, that's a great, but that works, right? That is success for that person. So
if they had that data, then they might think that they don't have that data, but that's also another topic.
But did you get enough to sort of feel that the results that you're going to portray are credible? Let's use that word.
Yeah. So I am going to be honest. I'm always honest, but I'm going to be frank, I suppose. Instead of say, I'll be frank. No.
Okay. It's easier for me to say.
Yeah. I am disappointed with the amount of responses that we had. We had 431.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Is that good? That's good. It's a good representation. I was really gunning for at least 500. And when you look at the larger WordPress community, you know, that might feel really minimal, especially when you're talking about 20 million websites or 43% of the web. But this had no support, clearly, from the official organization. So even like the annual WordPress survey that has not gone out for a few years, but used to go out through WordPress, you know, was supported through formal posts on WordPress.org and posts on social from the accounts that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. So for our reach, I'm satisfied with it. And it is a good, you know how surveys are like a representative slice, right?
You're only getting
a certain number of people. So, the more interesting story then of just that number, I think, is told through our sort of the breakdown of who took it.
Okay.
I think the most interesting stat is that more than 75% of the people who took the survey said they had been part of the WordPress community for more than 10 years.
Okay, that is interesting. Okay, 75%. Right.
Yeah, okay. And nearly a third were more than 15 years.
Okay.
So this is not randoms. This is people who have been part of the community, consider themselves a part of the community, are a core part of the community, who are giving these opinions. And so, to me, that's very valuable. We still have 25% who are less than that. So it's not that they weren't represented at all. But I think having the history and the knowledge of where WordPress has been and where it is now is useful.
Yeah, that, I think the demographics of that will be really interesting to break apart because, mm-hmm. so, you know, 75% of people have been doing it for 10 years or longer. That obviously tells you they've got a lot of skin in the game and they're very, you know, that they're wedded to it and they've probably built a career out of it.
Exactly.
Curiously, though, mm-hmm. I'd be equally interested to know what new people, like less than 2 years into the project, like what they think as well, because I have my opinions because I've been in the community for ages.
Right.
But it'd be kind of interesting to see what other people who haven't been in, you know, is this all, you know, hot air or what have you? But also one of the things which sort of concerns me is that the demographic of WordPress is sort of skewing older and getting younger people through is kind of important. But anyway, all of that was to say that the demographic and the geography and the age demographic and all of those kind of things alongside the answers will be really interesting. You know, it'd be really interesting if a certain
geography. We're going to break that down.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
so it'll be like the 75% who are 10 years or more felt this way. The 10 or the third who were, you know, 15 years or more sort of feel this way. The 25% that's been there less, they felt this way. So that's the sort of... That's why, you know, people are like, the survey's so long. And it's like, well, that's how we get the data to do something with it. It's not just like some random people answer this question. It helps us to know who is answering the question.
Yeah.
Like, and where are they coming from? Are they an employee?
Where they're coming from.
Business owner. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just in terms of their vocation, but also where they are. Because I was in Mumbai a few months ago for WordCamp. Well, WordCamp Asia, which I guess at some point is going to flip into WordCamp India. And
they're going to have WordCamp Asia and WordCamp India.
That's right, both are going to. So it's going to be a fourth flagship event. But the sort of appetite for WordPress was it was palpably different, and it felt like it was in my neck of the woods, literally like 8 or 10 years ago. There's that sense of opportunity and that sense of optimism. And it was really interesting. And I don't know quite why that is, but I would be interested to see.
I have theories.
Well, I'd be interested to see how that drops out in your survey. And, you know, if you've got anybody in that part of the world who completed it, and there was a, you know, a whole bunch in that neck of the woods who completed it, if their answers differed to, I don't know, say European answers or North American answers or what have you, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
So we had respondents from 42 countries.
Which
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
It is good, but though the majority of those were from the United States, 40%. And then a significant portion of the rest was basically it's white people. White people answered the survey. I mean, I'm just, it's like, so the United States, Netherlands, Canada, Germany, the UK, and Australia.
Okay.
Literally, like, that is, you know, I'm not assuming the ethnicity of all the people who live in those places.
No, I understand.
Those are clearly, you know, white-dominated countries in
general.
It'd
be interesting to see if the, did you have it in a variety? Could you fill it in, for example, if you had, I don't know. I think I saw four languages or something like that. Was it four?
French, Japanese,
Hindi.
Hindi.
Yeah.
And, I think it was Russian.
Spanish, maybe? Russian, okay.
Russian,
Spanish.
Of course it was Spanish.
Yeah,
of course Spanish.
I was going to say that's a good one.
It's a whole continent of people.
Right, but so there is at least some... You can't be a target entirely for that being skewed. At least you provided it in an assemblage of different languages.
You know, I think where we got the... answers from and the respondents from also sort of parallels my theory on why the folks in that attended WordCamp Asia or the folks that attend are going to attend WordCamp India are more gung-ho about WordPress.
Okay.
And that is because I feel that the information that we have here in the US, like literally our reach of information in those countries is not necessarily penetrating into those other demographics. So there's not a ton of crossover. WordCamp Asia, I think, is probably where the majority of that crossover is happening between sort of the legacy WordPress community, let's call it, and the newer WordPress community in these sort of developing communities, right? They're having that surge that we saw 10 years ago. And I think that folks don't know what's going on. And I think that, to me, that is the main difference, is that people here in the US have been paying attention, not that they have been being given the information through stories, through various news, WordPress news publications, WP Water Cooler, you know, my old podcast was around for a long time, providing that information. And we had a very, you know, very much skewed US and Europe as well, because we're speaking quickly in English, right? Really fast in English. So yeah, I think that that does reflect that, because at the core of it, WordPress is just still WordPress, and the technology is still just the technology. And that, you know, how AI works with WordPress and all that, that's just a matter of technology evolving, right? And so if we just had that, I don't think it would be the same as what has happened in the US and in Europe in general, with the sort of like bottoming out of the community. I feel that we have been subject to the turmoil of the lawsuits, the turmoil of everything that's been happening in the community since late 2024. And I think that has been, a lot of the other parts of the world have been shielded from that.
And, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And it's hard to like go around, and it's not like you're going to WordCamp Asia being like, and this is part of why we actually ended WP Water Cooler, is because, well, not no one, I'm sure some people want to do it, but I certainly, and I know a lot of people don't want to go around and be like, hey, welcome to WordPress. Do you know all our problems? Let me tell you about all the problems that we have. Like, who wants to do that? Like, nobody wants to be like, just like, oh, by the way, this thing you really like, it actually sucks. Ha, 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 ha. So I think that's part of it. People aren't trying to do that when they're going to WordCamp Asia. They're trying to build it up and celebrate it. So I think there's a big information.
Oh, there was very much a sense of that. There was a real, I don't know how to, like the word that I'm reaching for, which is absolutely the wrong word, naivety is the wrong word. You know, that innocence. That's the word. It's not
you
naivety.
You want to preserve the innocence.
Yeah, but it was lovely. You know, there was just like, there was youth there. There was a passion there. There was so many people chatting to other people. And I collided with loads of people. You know, this one chap who sort of told me that he had an agency. And I thought, oh, this will be interesting. He had an agency. I said, how many people have you? 200. Oh. Wait, what? 200 people he is employing. You know, this is the sort of thing that would make you legendary in my part of the world. Nobody has a 200 person WordPress agency over here, and yet
that's an employee rate thing also. I mean, you would if you had a business in the UK or the US and you outsourced all your labor, you might have a 200
maybe
person
that's
a,
yeah,
agency.
Yeah.
Because anyway, the amount that you can charge for websites doesn't necessarily change, even though your workforce. So, you know, there's global economic issues. It's pretty fascinating. This is a pretty fascinating, like, what other community has such a global focus?
Yeah, very few. Very
I don't even,
few.
Like soccer? Like,
maybe.
I don't
well, like, maybe, but the endeavors there is very different, isn't it?
It's very
and,
different.
You know, you really are in it because of the, you know, the sort of sporty nature of it. This is, you're right. I remember when I dropped into this community, I was really puzzled by it because I just couldn't get a handle on what it was. And actually, if the truth be told, I still don't get it. because it's a bunch of philanthropy with this like economic layer, with like just this community layer, and really when you look at it from the outside, none of it kind of fits the paradigm of or perfectly fits the paradigm of capitalism, which is the modus operandi under which much of the world in which I live works. you've got this philanthropic layer, this community layer where people meet up and share things. You know, there's this sort of commercial non-rivalry which goes on in the background, which is kind of really interesting as well. You know, hosting companies who talk to other hosting companies and help each other out. What I'm trying to say is it's confusing.
It's confusing to people. It's confusing to the community. It's confusing to companies. Confusing to regulators. That's the thing, because it had the ethos, the spirit, all of that of this big community project, this thing that we all owned, that we were all part of. And that is still, I believe, the vibe, the zeitgeist happening in India, in WordCamp Asia. And I think that's also why we're all so sad, because we missed that. It was great.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
We believed in it. It was like a good example of humanity working together. Like, not to get like wild about it, but honestly, like when you're working with people on the other side of the world, I worked with one of the biggest projects I worked on as marketing team lead was the contributor like test quiz and how to contribute page. And I worked on that with a woman who lives in Russia, and we're like, you know, we can't actually engage. Like, our, you know, there's like rules and sanctions on our countries engaging. Like, I couldn't go visit her country, but we could work together and achieve this dream of how other people can contribute. And that's kind of amazing. Like, that is a human phenomenon that doesn't exist. Like, you have local communities working together, but there's a global community connecting and knowing each other and working together on a shared project. Like, that to me, see, I'm going to get like verklempt or whatever about this, but like, that is why WordPress to me has always been bigger than WordPress, right? Like, that's a weird thing to say, but that's how I feel about it. Like WP is bigger than WordPress.
No, always been somebody, I think, like, I can only really do this with the benefit of hindsight. I think some part of me needs meaning in what I do.
Yeah.
But something actually significant, or at least my version of that, right? So yes. I wouldn't have been able to stick at some kind of job where that wasn't being satisfied. And so when I stumbled into WordPress and I saw this sort of philanthropic side and I saw the community side and I saw the fact that, you know, it's free, all this stuff is, you know, you can actually download it for free, it really spoke to me well, I can't actually say any dominoes fell like at a moment and I had this epiphany. It wasn't like, you know, Paul on the road to Damascus or anything, but I had, over time, it built up into this edifice of, wow, this thing's really cool. Mm-hmm. And I still have that.
I know.
That has not gone
from
me. That's
why we're still here, Nathan.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's that hope. It's that we're working together. It is that belief that this is more than just a business, right? A way of making money. For me, as I studied journalism, mm-hmm. and information and the freedom of information, people's ability to be informed, to me is the absolute fundamental component of being a free human being. Because if you don't have the information, accurate information, you can't make choices that are informed for your life. So you're always going to be making choices that are not optimal for you because you don't have the big picture. And so for me, that's just always been, it's just been a big part of it, is that this greater meaning of people being able to, you know, democratize publishing, that anyone could get a small web host or some server and get their voice out, or even more so, get super important information out, communicate things to others. And I still think that's crucial, because especially in the era of AI, especially now when literally, you know, they're literally changing digital books, right? They're changing the words in the editions on the ebooks, like while you're reading it. Like there's a book I just read about that was, it's not an important book, right? It's just fiction, but they updated it to have like TikTok in it. Now it has TikTok.
Okay.
And like, yeah. Like it was written like 10 or 15 years ago.
To keep it up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when we don't have control of our information or our words, we don't know what's happening without that, with that stuff out there. Even the recent thing that Meta did with their ability to allow anyone to AI remix anyone else's content.
What a what a PR snafu that was, thankfully.
But yeah. I mean, but that's the direction that
that is the direction of travel.
The tech company has been taking us in. Yeah. They're like, this is our content, we're doing it. So to own your own content, to have the means of production digitally, not just the means of production, like here I'm holding up a zine that's a, you know, a paper zine. I mean, you can hear it.
I'm
trying to make it loud.
Like
to have, this is, to me, WordPress has been a printing press that is digital and giving people the power to share information and get information that has been, that is fundamental to where we are going as humans right now.
You know what? We're top of the hour. I think
it's a long
perfect place. No, no, that's great. I think that's the perfect place to end it. So what an aspiration that is. And, you know, in the year 2026, going into 2027 at some point fairly soon, more important than ever. Okay, so say, Reed, do you just want to, before we go, I know that we can go to the WPOCC, we can Google that and find it. Anywhere else you want to drop as a place where you hang out?
I'm on, I don't know anymore on the socials.
I don't know any of
you know, the best way to connect is, you know, right now you can become a member of the WPOCC for $5. And that gives you access to our Slack. That's, I mean, I'm just there. So if you want to talk to me, you can talk to me there. I'm also in the I'm in post status Slack. I'm in the repository Slack. I'm on LinkedIn. I am always happy to and delighted to talk to anyone who has about WordPress, about open source, about any of this stuff, about, you know, the future of humanity, whatever. So please, if you're interested in that stuff, hit me up wherever you prefer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nathan.
Okay, that's all we've got time for today. I hope that you enjoyed that. Head to wpbills.com and search for episode number 482. If you do that, you can leave a comment there and we would really appreciate it. Don't forget that we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time for the This Week in WordPress show, and we'll have a podcast episode for you next Thursday. wpbills.com/subscribe to get subscribed and /advertise to sponsor the podcast and keep it going forwards. Okay, I'm going to fade in some cheesy music. Say, stay safe. You have a good week. Bye-bye for now.